Dominic Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Gabe Nashville Studios. Mel Kiper Jr. has his grade for the Titans draft, and it is not pretty. Mel gives the Titans a C+, which for Mel Kiper is pretty terrible. I think there were like two teams that got C's. Everybody else either got a C+ or worse. I mean, or better. Excuse me. I believe Atlanta got a C, and some other bozo, Denver maybe, got a C. And then everybody else was C+ or better, and most people were better. So for Mel Kiper Jr., a C+ is not good. Now, let me start off by saying this. I think that most grades for draft classes are stupid anyways. Like, I think that we should be grading the 2020 draft right now, in which the Titans would have absolutely positively gotten F for their 2020 draft. But I really think that grades for drafts, you know, they really end up being more A. Sometimes there's some good drafts that are okay, but don't have superstars. It's kind of a B. And then there's just, you know, Caleb Farley, Dylan Raidens. F! But Mel gives them a C+. Mel writes at ESPN. Ian, should I do Mel's voice or should I just read it?
Maybe a little bit of both. Mixing a Mel word here or there.
Mel says, the Titans were a popular team in mock drafts for projections on the first team to take an offensive tackle in the mock drafts. Mel says, but I said a few times I thought they could trade down from number 7 and still get one of the best tackles in the class. With Joe Alt gone to the Chargers at 5, though, it seemed like Tennessee picked at least a little high in selecting J.C. Latham. So he says it's a reach on Latham. Yes, the offense ranked 31st in sack rate per dropback last season and allowed 64 sacks, which was the second most in the history of the franchise. But as I wrote Thursday night, I have doubts about whether Latham can play left tackle, and the Titans have now taken a right tackle and a guard in the top 11 in back-to-back drafts. Is that the best use of high picks, Mel asks. I'm not so sure, though I do think Latham can be a physically imposing run blocker. In round 2, Mel writes, Tennessee reached for nose tackle Tavondre Sweat, who I thought was more of a third rounder because of his inconsistent play and an arrest for driving while intoxicated earlier this month. Cedric Gray could be a steal in round 4. He may never be great in coverage, but he can blitz off the edge and be a menace between the tackles in the run game. James Williams is a 6'4 safety who will likely move to linebacker at the next level. All in all, Mel writes, if Latham makes an easy conversion to left tackle and immediately dominates, this class will look much better. As is, I don't love the value overall. That's what Mel Kiper wrote. So get some good news and bad news. Good news is this. Mel Kiper's opinion really doesn't matter. And Mel Kiper gave the 2017 Chiefs draft a C+. Ian, do you know who the first round draft choice of the Chiefs in 2017 was?
Was it Mahomes?
It was Patrick Mahomes. They also got Kareem Hunt in that same draft. By the way, the other team that got a C+, because again, C+ is bad for Mel Kiper. The other team that got a C+ in that draft, the Rams. You know who they drafted? Cooper Kupp. So, I mean, again, let's use the context of Mel here. But there is no doubt that the Titans took some swings in the draft that most people thought might have been a little over the top. It does feel like the Titans reached for Latham, and they absolutely reached at 38 for Tavondre Sweat. Now, the Titans will tell you they don't care. That these are the players we wanted and we got them and so we need them and that's who we're going with. And that's fine. But that's not really maximizing your assets in the NFL, or as the GM would call it, our GM, he would call what the Titans did the cardinal sin of drafting.
The board is set up according to NFL standards. And so, in theory, now this would never happen, but in theory, you're saying if our board has 4 7-0s on it, then all the boards across the league will have 4 7-0s on them. Now, we know that won't be the case. But generally, your board is set up according to the league simply because, as we all know, if you are putting a middle linebacker, you're giving him a grade of 5.5, and then you start talking about it, you go, you know what? We really need a linebacker. Then all of a sudden he's a 5'9", and then, you know, somebody else comes in, the linebacker coach says, you know what? I don't have any linebacker. Whoop, now all of a sudden he's a 6'5", and he keeps moving up the board, when in reality he's still 5'5". Mm-hmm. So in the first round, you go out and you draft a guy because you need him. That is a third-round player in the first round. Well, that's the you know, cardinal sin of drafting. You just can't do that.
Okay, he's telling you, you can't overdraft. And so, while, again, everybody's rankings are different, everybody's board's different, he said the way that they would evaluate their board was not about whether or not they made good picks 3 years later. They evaluated their board based upon what the NFL viewed their players as. So where do these guys go? Are we in tune with the rest of the league? Or are we the ones who are off? And I don't look at one guy saying that, well, I have J.C. Latham as the 12th best player and they took him at 7. But the problem is that everybody had J.C. Latham. All of the draft gurus had J.C. Latham as the 12th, 13th, 14th best prospect. And you can't take the 14th best prospect with the 7th pick. And again, Tavondre Sweat, Mel Kiper says round 3. Dane Brugler at The Athletic says round 4. Daniel Jeremiah says 114. They reached at 38. And again, that's the cardinal sin of drafting, according to the GM. So on one hand, who gives a rat's ass what Mel Kiper thinks? On the other hand, it does feel like the Titans reached in the draft, at least according to the consensus. You know, I would love to ask somebody associated with another team, hey, where did you have Tavondre Sweat on your board? Did you have him at 38? Or did you have him at 114? Or did you have him completely off your board? But, again, now's not the time to say whether or not they're geniuses or morons or whatever. That will come 3 or 4 years from now. And everybody will decide for them whether or not the Titans were smart and they reached on Latham, or he was an absolute superstar at left tackle. They reached on Sweat, or Sweat has maturity issues or whatever, or they drafted the next Albert Haynesworth. We'll find that out down the road. But I do think there's some truth that when everybody, every draft guru is saying you reached, chances are you probably reached. And that is not a good sign. So I'm not going to sit here. I don't care about grades on drafts. You know what? B, I mean, who cares? F, who cares? But I do think, like, people were tweeting me on Saturday, we're killing it in the draft, Jared. I'm like, you could draft anybody. And the Titan fans be like, yeah. Titan fans hated the J.C. Latham pick when it was made, and now they've come around to it. They like it. To me, it was a reach. I think you could have traded down. Was Atlanta really going to take J.C. Latham? I think they had their heart set on Michael Penix. I don't think Atlanta was sitting there in the war room saying, ah, damn it, they just took J.C. Latham, and now we can't do the stupidest thing and take Michael Penix. Come on now. 615-737-1025 to your phones on this. There is an excuse the Titans are making. To me, I have a hard time accepting Tavondre Sweat at 38. I don't have a problem with the player. I do have a problem with the off-the-field stuff. But when everybody's telling me third-round, fourth-round grades, and you took him at 38, I got a problem with that. And the Titans had their excuse for why they didn't trade down. You tell me if you buy it. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
A lot of deals made in the first 10, 12 picks of the second round. How much action were you getting? How much consideration did you give?
Tons of calls. We up until when we walked up here at 4 o'clock with JC, we had, about 8-9 calls, mm-hmm. 8-9 offers for the pick, and we were fielding the calls, listening. But, you know, one thing we talked about was let's see how this board shakes out. We knew there was going to be an early run on receivers, and we knew that with the defensive tackles that were right there, it was only a matter of time of when that run happened, and you knew that there was going to be a run on the corners right there. And so the receiver run happened early, like we thought, and then as soon as I think it was Washington traded into the pick and took Johnny Newton, we knew that that run was going to happen, and it's just the way the board took shape.
It's probably important to note, too, that it's you know, just because there's phone calls doesn't mean that they're good deals, doesn't mean that they fit for us. You know, some of these calls and some of these trades, you're dropping down a significant level of player when you start dropping deep into the second, and sometimes the reciprocal value isn't there because everyone thinks that they can get they can try to pull one over and get a deal, and that's not how it works. So there's a cost of doing business, and when you want to come up that high, there's things that are required, and you know, some teams meet it, some teams don't. But I think there was just a world of player that we weren't quite ready to dip out of.
Ah, yes. The rookie head coach talking about, I know when they're trying to pull one over on us. And the GM who drafted a guard with the 11th overall pick telling us, hey, man, we knew how this draft was going to go. Even though there were all these trades, there's no way we could have traded out of 38 for T'Vondre Sweat. Bullcrap. I am not buying that. Now, if the Titans sat there and said, Jared, we think this player is so freaking good that we didn't want to chance it, I'd say, but you didn't think you could have gotten something out of this? You didn't think that you could have moved back a little bit? Is he really that good? If he's that good, why does nobody else think that? Because Dane Brugler had a fourth-round grade on T'Vondre Sweat. Daniel Jeremiah had T'Vondre Sweat ranked at 114th. And Mel Kiper had a third-round grade. And I heard Caroline talking about this today. Apparently, the Pro Football Focus draft thinks the least, the board thinks the least of T'Vondre Sweat. So, you know, when we talk about consensus top 10, consensus first rounder, consensus All-American, well, in the case of T'Vondre Sweat, it feels like he was a consensus not second round pick. Now, that doesn't mean that I hate the pick because I actually see the value of the player on the Titans. The problem is, were the Titans one of 32 that thought this guy was a second rounder? Because it feels like that's the case. Now, the Titans will tell you, because again, Rand Carthon was like, well, when Johnny Newton went off the board, that started the run on the DTs, which sounds great, but Johnny Newton is not the same kind of prospect as T'Vondre Sweat. T'Vondre Sweat is not in Johnny Newton's zip code. Johnny Newton was a first round caliber player. T'Vondre Sweat was not. So, again, you couldn't have traded down and managed the asset better for a guy who fourth round grade from one guy, 114 from another guy, which is also the fourth round, third round for Mel Kiper. Even in Daniel Jeremiah's first big board, so around the Super Bowl, pre-DWI, pre the concerns about the weight coming out on T'Vondre Sweat, he had him ranked at 48. You can't take the 48th best player with the 38th pick. And here are the trades that went down after the Titans picked at 38. At 39, Carolina traded to Los Angeles for 52, a second rounder, 155, which I believe is a sixth rounder, and a second rounder next year. Again, using the assumption that the draft gurus are at least in the ballpark, you probably could have gotten T'Vondre Sweat at 50, 52, 53, 45. You probably could have gotten T'Vondre Sweat at 52 with the Rams and picked up a second in next year's draft. You don't think that would have been valuable? At 40, Washington traded with Philadelphia. 40, 78. Now, you don't have a third rounder, which makes this kind of hard. 70, 38, and 152 for 50, 53, and 161. So you would have had to fudge it some way, somehow. You probably would have had to give up 106, and you probably would not have gotten 161 in return. You know, there'd have to be some kind of fudging there a little bit. But they got 2 second-round picks. And again, I mean, Ian, without knowing any other team's board, but just going off of Mel and all the draft gurus and everybody else, do you think that T'Vondre Sweat would have been available at 50?
That's 12 picks. Back 12, huh? I mean, it sounds like it.
But, I mean, again, if people are saying that he's 114th on the board.
I mean, that's pretty far, yeah. I mean, 114 to 38, that's a lot. That's a big difference there.
And so if you pick up 2 second-round picks here, you pick up 50 and 53, I mean, now you can take him at 50, and then you get another second-round player at 53. And again,
maybe they knew someone was hot on Sweat in that range.
I haven't heard that narrative yet. And then Green Bay traded 41 for 45. Now they picked up 168 and 190. You know, so who cares about 168 and 190? But again, when it comes to this asset management, I mean, I highly doubt that Chad Brinker's curing cancer AI business school model that he thinks is going to save them $1 million here or $2 million there, that he's such a genius that he got a promotion for not doing anything last year up to president. I cannot imagine that Chad Brinker's cancer curing model says that you should take the 114th best player at 38. And especially when it was clear that everybody wanted to trade. Everybody wanted to trade on Friday night. So, again, I don't have a problem with the player. I'm concerned about the red flags, and I'm not going to dismiss him. And if he shows up and pulls the Treylon Burks and is out of the first day of rookie minicamp because he's too fat, then we're going to have a huge problem on this program. But, again, it just, you can't tell me that there weren't trades to be made. You said the phone was ringing off the hook. You can't tell me that teams weren't willing to make reasonable trades because these trades are legit. 52, 155, and a second for 39?
You think the Rams right behind at 39, they took this Fisk kid?
Fisk was a consensus second rounder.
Uh-huh. Maybe.
Again, T'Vondre Sweat.
Who's also a defensive lineman, so same kind of position.
Sweat was a consensus non-second rounder. That is... And I'm not saying if you love the player, take him. Especially if you don't have a third round pick, I get it. But you got to know where he's going to go in the league because, again, you cannot take a guy just because you like him. You cannot take a guy and overdraft him because that's bad asset management. As the GM would say, that is the cardinal sin of drafting. And so I can't believe, considering that 39 went off the board and 40 went off the board and 41 went off the board, I cannot imagine that the Tennessee Titans were not getting real offers for that pick. Again, these were real offers that went down for those picks, that they wouldn't get offers from the same teams looking for the same player they wanted, that they weren't getting those same kind of calls.
Sounds like we are hearing more about Chris Jenkins, the defensive lineman from Michigan, and he went 49.
It sounds to me like the Titans decided that they were going to take T'Vondre Sweat no matter what. And as I've said with Rand Carthon, when he decides he's going to do something, he does it. And oftentimes, there's a detail in there that is a pretty big one that they just conveniently overlook. Like Legarius needs knees. Minnesota wanted to do it, offered a better deal. Then they heard about the knees and they were like, no. And so I don't necessarily have a problem with the player, though I am concerned about the red flags. But you cannot tell me that there was not a trade that they could have made. And that's not even that. I think they could have made a trade for Latham. I think they could have traded back for Latham. If they had traded back with Minnesota to 11, were the Jets going to take him at 10? The Bears were going to take Roma Dunze no matter what. It feels like the Falcons were going to take Michael Penix no matter what. You trade back to 11. So now the Jets... You know, who's to say they would have picked him over Fashanu? So that stuff is the concerning part, is that the Titans are just out here winging it with no value to the board, and that's a problem. 615-737-1025. We're to your phone, 615-737-1025 on the program here on Stillman and Company. Plus, what Mel Kiper said, he did a breakdown on the Titans class. We'll do that next as well here on Stillman and Company. Let's talk about Twice Daily. I absolutely love Twice Daily. They've got all your cravings, and you can save on every visit. Stop in and get rewarded. All you need to do is join the Twice Daily Rewards Program to unlock special discounts, savings, enter their sweepstakes, and so much more. Try out the new wraps at Twice Daily, like the Italian, the ham and cheddar, the turkey and Swiss, and the Nashville hot chicken. They're made to order with your favorite toppings, so when you download the Twice Daily app, you can order ahead. Or at Twice Daily, it's snack time all the time, and they've got favorites like chicken fingers, tater rounds, new pretzels, and more. Twice Daily, what are you craving?
You look at Tavondre Sweat, I like the kid. I'd like them a lot better, more than anybody did. We had debated that. I thought he was a guy who was productive. I thought he was more disruptive than anybody gave him credit for. Byron Murphy II didn't outproduce him by much in terms of even sack production. He had five. Sweat had with 2.5. Sweat was in that, was getting the job done. Why couldn't you run against Texas? It was because of that wall that was Tavondre Sweat. He is huge. I understand the draft process didn't treat him tremendously well. But you go back to the tape, people say, well, he's built for 1980. He's another one of those guys. I talk about Tommy Eichenberg, built for the 80s. You know, we don't need to stay-at-home type defensive tackles anymore. Last time I checked, they still do run the football. And Tavondre Sweat didn't give you some ability to get into the backfield. So when you look at it and you size it all up, I thought at the end of the day he'd be a third-round pick like Gilbert Brown, who was my comp to him when he came out of Kansas a while ago, right? Had a good career. Tavondre Sweat was a little early for everybody, I think. For me, though, I like the player. I like what he can become if he stays focused on the attention to detail, stays focused on the job at hand. I think he can be a guy who can help this football team. J.C. Latham, well, can he be a left tackle? We don't know that. He believes he can. Alabama never moved him. I love him as a right tackle. Can he be a left tackle? Of their late-round picks, Jarvis Brownlee's okay. Down the field, he's got to locate the ball. Yep. That's what bothered me a little bit with him. I said it when he was drafted. So some of these guys, they're okay. James Williams is a tweener. What is he? Is he a safety? Is he a linebacker? That's why I gave them a grade that I did, not as high as some of the other teams in the league this year, and the division even. But I think Sweat, to me, is really a key guy because I think overall field, their draft, brought in some guys that can help them. And Latham, can he be a left tackle? Wasn't loving a lot of it. I thought it was a decent draft, not a really good one, but we'll see how it plays out.
There you go, Mel Kiper crapping on your draft, just saying, look, you reached. You reached third-round grade on Sweat. Somebody texts in and says, it's not about where other people had him on the draft board. If Rand and the Titans had him high enough to make the pick at 38, then that's all that matters. It's not really how the NFL works. Again, the GM, we already played the cut this hour, says your board needs to match the league. And you cannot say, well, we need this guy and we like him, so let's take him in the first round when he's not a first-round player. And in the case of Tavondre Sweat, either everybody is wrong. Mel, Dane Brugler, Daniel Jeremiah, all the gurus. Every single one of them. Either every single guru is wrong, and all the NFL teams had a second-round grade on Tavondre Sweat, in spite of the weight issues, the DWI, the maturity question marks, everything else. Or you overdrafted him. Now, which one do you think is more likely? Got it. So, again, I have no problem with loving the player and getting the player on your team. I have a problem with taking the 114th best player at 38. That's what I have a problem with. Let's go to phones as promised. Travis is up next here on our program. He's been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Travis.
Hey, I appreciate what you're saying about the so-called experts having them listed at a certain number. And I agree with that to some extent, but I think that the Titans had a direction that they wanted to go before this draft, and that's just adding beef. We lost Autry. We needed a big left tackle that could be beside Peter Skoronski. So I feel like they had a direction, and they took that direction regardless of the experts, so-called, or where they have them placed on the board. And I think it's going to be a good pickup. I think
Here's the question, though, about the desire for beef. Travis, let me ask you a question. Here's the problem, though, right? If there are better players ahead of those players, what do you want? Do you want the better players, or do you want the players that you want because you want the beef?
Well, I mean, you put on the tape of Sweat. He's a good player, and he could be really good, especially if you drop some weight.
Okay, that's a pretty big
game. And Latham played a left tackle in high school.
Oh, high school!
I mean, he has the footwork. Jared is what I'm saying. He has the footwork.
I mean, he didn't have the footwork for Nick Saban.
They had Evans over there. I mean, so you got
to
give him
a chance. He went to the NFL. He's been in the NFL for 2 years. They had a true freshman over there. The year before that, they had a transfer from Vanderbilt over there. Vandy!
Either way.
I know. Thank you, Travis. See, that's the problem. You guys eat up all the bull crap, and
well,
then you don't
does,
listen to...
I do wonder if it makes us feel better. If he can go from left to right, could he go from right to left?
Well, that's high school.
Well, he went from high school to college, and he was good in college.
In college, he played right guard, and then he moved out to right tackle.
Uh-huh.
So Nick Saban is telling you he's not a left tackle.
Well, if he went from left tackle in high school, and he was adjusted to the right side fine in college, maybe there's some promise there.
Do you think the Titans broke down the high school tape?
Probably not.
Right, because it doesn't matter. In high school, he could have played any position. It wouldn't matter. You could have put him at running back, and it wouldn't have mattered because they wouldn't have been able to tackle him. I mean, this is the NFL. Like, this is the top 10 of the draft in the NFL, and you're like, well, in high school, he played, right. And in college, Nick Saban was like, no, you stay over there. When they had, again, a transfer from Vandy and a true freshman. So make of it what you will. And then again, with the Sweat thing, it's like, you know, we needed the beef. Right. Could you have gotten the beef at 45 with New Orleans, who traded up to 41? Could you have gotten the beef with Philadelphia at 50? You know, who traded up to 40, or with the Rams at 52, who traded up to 39? My guess is yes. And let's say you made that deal. Now, you would have had to have gotten creative. You know, let's say you had traded 38 and 106. Again, the Washington trade was 40, 78 and 152 for 50 and 53. So 2 second rounders. Let's say, and 161. Let's say instead of that, you trade 40 plus 106. Forget about 152 and forget about 161. For 50 and 53, you don't think you could have gotten Trevondre Sweat there? And if you didn't get Trevondre Sweat there, which, again, I think you would have, but if you didn't get Trevondre Sweat there, guess what? There probably would have been two good players that you could have picked from. So this idea of like, oh, no, Jared. The Titans, the Titans always know better, just like they knew better last year with the freaking guard who stunk as a rookie. Vincent is up next here on the program. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Vincent.
Yeah, so my professional
Vincent, talking to the phone, please.
My professional teams are terrible. They are terrible. How possibly can the Titans get it so wrong consistently for so long? And if anybody does just a halfway keeps up with it fan, look at your last seven first round. I'm talking about first round picks. First rounders are terrible.
In fairness, most of those have nothing to do with anybody who's making decisions now other than the owner.
Okay, yes. Okay, because this was Rand's first draft. Please, I am ready to punt and start over already. I'm already ready. Let's go. Who's the next GM?
So here's the thing, Vincent. I don't disagree with your sentiment at all, actually, and I appreciate your call. I don't disagree with that sentiment. I mean, a lot of people got really, really mad when I said with the Titans that at the end of the year, with this Vrabel and Rand Carthon commission and whatever you want to call it, the whatever. I mean, I thought it was bullcrap from the jump. You guys all believed into it, just like you believe that, well, J.C. Latham played left tackle in high school, so he can play in the NFL. You know, I didn't buy that from the beginning, and I still don't necessarily buy what they've got going on now. But I said I would have cleaned house. And people were like, that's not fair! And I'm like, right, but the NFL's not fair. but I would have cleaned house because it's really time for a reset. You know, and I'm not saying reset with the roster. I'm saying it's time for a reset. It's time for all of the bad, everything from the past, just go away. And nobody is committed to anything that is on this team as of right now. And we start from scratch with new eyes and a new voice and kind of a singular direction. But nope, the Titans had a different plan. And so I just agree that I think it's time to go in a new direction as far as, you know, all of this, you know, how they're building the team. And what I think ends up happening is I think the team ends up making these draft choices and it's an overcorrection all the time. It's an overcorrection. In this case, the line was so bad last year that they had to take a lineman. So whoever the failed head coach who's an offensive line guru, whoever he says pick, will pick. And that's what they did. And I just think that's bad business. More of your phones. 615-737-1025 on our program. 615-737-1025. Let's talk. And at some point, I should have my entire draft breakdown. Let's talk FanDuel Sportsbook, my official sportsbook app. Dingers, blasts, moonshots, whatever you call it, everybody loves the long ball, the home run. And with FanDuel's Dinger Tuesdays, you can love them even more. That's right, Dinger Tuesdays are back for another season on America's number one sportsbook and my official sportsbook app, FanDuel. Just bet on a player to hit a homer, and FanDuel will give you $5 in bonus bets for every home run hit during that game. As if you needed another reason to love the long ball. Go to FanDuel.com/JGM to get in on all the Dinger Tuesday action. That's FanDuel.com/JGM. And make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball and my official sportsbook app. 21 and over and present in Tennessee. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
With the 38th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Trevondre Sweat from the University of Texas, nose guard.
Yeah, this is a mammoth human being. You see the weight there, 366 pounds. This is someone who can really clog the run lanes with his big frame. You hear a lot of attention on him this year. When scouts got in and studied him, they liked Byron Murphy better. You saw Byron Murphy go off the board. But Sweat is just a massive human being who can push the pocket with that power, put that weight and that size to work, and just walk centers and guards back. I don't believe he's a big-time pass rusher. You see flashes of it, like this one against TCU. This was a very polarizing player.
There you go. That was Daniel Jeremiah being like, oh, he's a good run stuffer. A good run stuffer at 38. Now, again, I don't hate the player. I don't hate the pick. I see the marriage between him and Simmons. But there's a lot of red flags. And, again, he was consensus not worth 38. One texter texts into the text line and says, again, a lot of people get mad saying, well, all that matters was the Titans wanted the guy. And if the Titans wanted the guy, then that's all that matters. And one texter says, look at The Athletic. The Athletic gave the Titans the 26th best draft class. The texter asks, how do you have the 26th best draft class if you have the 7th overall pick in a draft? Between that and Mel Kiper Jr. not liking the Titans draft and others, the Titans are consistently getting knocked for reaching on both Latham and on Trevondre Sweat. And it made me think in my head, like, that is kind of crazy that you have the 7th pick and end up with the 26th ranked draft. Now, again, who knows? You know, Mel Kiper Jr. gave a C+, the same grade he gave you, to the draft that the Chiefs had that had Patrick Mahomes in it. But what they're telling you is they're telling you you reached. And what you're saying is one of two things. Either you're saying our people know and you don't, or you're saying you don't care that they reached. And I guarantee you, if I talked to you last week and said, hey, we're going to take the 114th best player at 38, you'd have said, hell no. But because you picked him, now you convince yourself that no, this is right. This is the way it's supposed to go. One texter says, let's not fool ourselves. It was a disappointing, mediocre, i.e. typical Titans draft. I don't know that. The one I don't like is the Latham pick. because there's too many question marks at 7 overall that I don't like. But I can't say that it's not that bad. One texter says, Jared, if you don't like the first two picks, just curious, who do you think the Titans should have taken? I think the Titans at 7 should have taken Brock Bowers. And again, I talked to a former NFL head coach who told me when the Titans were on the clock, sent me a text saying, take the tight end out of Georgia. He's going to the Hall of Fame. And I talked to somebody that's around the Raiders who ended up taking Bowers. And the Raiders, Bowers was a prospect for the Raiders that they knew they weren't going to be able to pick. That they thought so much of Bowers that they were like, oh, yeah, I mean, we'd love to take him, but he's not going to be there. And so I would have gone Bowers at 7 because the way that, again, Mark Dominic and the way that, again, that former NFL coach and other people have talked about Bowers, I mean, there's a lot of love for what that kid's capable of. Bill Polian was all in on Bowers, and I think, again, a tight end's great for a young quarterback, and I believe that Bowers was the best player available at 7, so I would have taken him. Then would that have affected my pick at 38? I don't have a problem with the pick of Tavondre Sweat. But again, if he's on these boards around the league, and I'm not saying that he's for sure on those boards around the league because of where all the gurus had him, but, I mean, a lot of these gurus are talking to the teams. Like, keep that in mind. But regardless, I mean, you could have had him probably at 52. And to move up to 39, you were at 38. The Rams traded 52, 155, and next year second. And I would have loved that trade. And then I could have made my pick. And maybe Tavondre Sweat, most likely Tavondre Sweat still would have been there. So I don't have a problem with the second player. I really don't have a problem with the first player. Now, I'd put the first player at right tackle for this season. And then I'd move him to left tackle. But they're not going to do that. Texter says, Jared, it's time to realize the Titans are one of the crap teams in the league, and it's not going to change anytime soon. It is time to jump the shark. I had that realization on the Thursday after the Titans fired John Robinson on Tuesday when I did a lot of digging, thinking that there must have been a PR thing or a power struggle or an F you to Amy or something like that that got him fired. When I found out it was none of it and the Titans just decided to fire the general manager in the middle of the season when they were in first place, I realized my team's probably not the brightest. So I've already had that moment. But I'll love the Titans no matter what. Because I love the Titans. And I will continue to love the Titans. That's it for us. We're back tomorrow at 2. The Commodore Hour is coming up next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.